Welcome back to this episode of the Beaver Dam. I am your host, Trent Mast, joined along with Patrick Spillman. We haven't had a Monday show here in a couple weeks. We had spring break, and then last week we
had soccer commitment. We're doing a little bit of fundraising, so that way we can make a trip to St. Louis next year as a team. So we unfortunately were not able to do it, but yeah. We're back.
We are back.
Ready to talk about some sports. Mm-hmm. Sports world's crazy, Trent.
Yeah, but first off, Pat, how we haven't heard from you in a while. How have you been, and how is spring break and the first week of classes, as well as today being back? How have you been?
You know, today, just all together, it's been pretty well. Weather warmed up a little bit, went back to cold, warmed up a little bit, went back to cold, was a little warmer today. So I'm hoping that we're finally going to start seeing some spring. Spring break was good. Got an internship for the summer. Be working in Indianapolis, Indiana for USA football. So I'm excited to continue to work in the sports world and just relax a little bit. You know, as much needed. College takes it out of you, and sometimes you need that week break to refocus, recoup, and get back to going.
Yeah, I feel it. School has been really stressful this semester. I'm in a lot. I'm doing a lot of different things than I did last year, I guess. Not only am I working at the WIT, I also do stuff with the registrar's office, and I work arts and lecture events, and I'm in the musical, and that started up, so just not having as much time on my hands, and I'm in a couple more classes than I was last spring, so just time management has been killing me, but spring break was really good, just to de-stress a little bit and not have to really worry about assignments or anything, because none of my stuff was due until Monday afternoon after break, so I just had one little thing I had to worry about over spring break, so it wasn't that bad. But soccer did start up.
Yes.
We've been doing early morning practices, practicing at 6:30 in the morning. And that's a little rough because I'm a night owl, and I don't...
Trent's been going to bed at 11 o'clock. I never thought the day would come, being his roommate, that I would get Trent in bed by 11 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm usually up till 1:32, if not a little bit later than that. So it's just a little different because I'm not quite tired when I go to bed. So I lay there for a little bit, but eventually I just get bored and I fall asleep. So Trent,
you know, the one thing that I'm thinking about, we don't know how to say no to anything. Your schedule's full. My schedule's full. I have two jobs, just added a third job now that I'm going to be a student ambassador, plus soccer. Yeah. Plus, I have five classes. You have seven classes. Yeah. I'm tired.
I'm tired, but new week, so hopefully I get a little more used to my early morning schedule. I mean, we only have three more morning practices, and then we get to go outside and start practice at 4. So that'll be coming up next week, so that's exciting. So enough about what's going on in our lives. We're going to talk a little bit about the NCAA March Madness tournament coming up here.
Trent, Zion's back. And man, oh man, am I stoked.
He was the
ACC Player of the Year as well as the ACC Tournament MVP.
Yeah, I mean, his first game back was their quarterfinal game, correct?
That would be correct.
And he went 13 for 13, I do believe.
Against Syracuse.
I watched a little bit of that game here and there between doing some work and some leisurely watching Netflix / playing some Xbox, but it was a really good game, and he had a really good first game back.
29 points, I think 13 rebounds, had a double-double first game back, and he didn't even look like he was really had come back from an injury. He looked like he was in shape. He looked like he was good to go. And, you know, the one brutal thing about an ACC tournament is that, and really every conference tournament, is that you play on back-to-back days.
Back. Yeah.
And so he went out and played three games in a row. As some people know, Duke did win the ACC tournament. And he played 3 days in a row. He looked good. He looked fine. He was flying all over the court, his typical self, and ended up Duke getting the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. March Madness is going to be crazy. Students are not going to be paying attention to the professors. We all know all students are going to have their computers on. Professors are going to be yelling at their students, and students are still going to do it because, you know, it's March Madness, and this is when college basketball gets crazy. I'm having a bunch of people put together a bracket, see who gets the bragging rights of bragging rights and everything else, because last year a guy on the team won and he talked smack to me all year long because I love college basketball and he watched maybe five games all year. And yes, I was upset, guys. I was very upset about losing in the bracket. So
yeah, last year was really the first year I watched a little bit of college basketball. I'd always kept up with it. I would read things. I would go online, read articles. So it was a little weird filling out that bracket last year because I knew of the teams that were doing well. And I mean, obviously all the teams are doing well, but the ones that were playing standout basketball day in and day out. And so I just kind of wung it with my bracket last year, and I didn't actually do too terrible. But this year I definitely think I'm a little more knowledgeable on some of the teams. Actually, I'm pretty confident this year, Pat.
All right, Trent, major question. Who is your Cinderella team to make it to the Final Four at least? There's always that one team every single year. What team is your Cinderella team that is not ranked super high to make it?
The Final Four?
Final Four.
I think all of mine were ranked pretty high. Wait, Pat, go back up.
Oh, my bad.
I had somebody going pretty far.
We have the bracket pulled up real quick, just trying to figure out who we think our Cinderellas are. I know who my Cinderella is. Why Trent figured out. You know, I'm going to make a lot of Ohio State fans really upset with this. But my pick is going to be Iowa State. Yes, I know they're ranked as a 6 seed, and Ohio State is an 11. But they have some really good teams that they're going to have to get through. And I have them making it to the Final Four before getting beat by Virginia, because Virginia obviously getting beat last year, being a number one seed by the 16 seed, first time it ever happening in NCAA March Madness. Virginia's going to come back on a vengeance, as well as me choosing Duke. You know, I think those four freshmen, they're not freshmen anymore. They've definitely grown up. They know how to play the game of basketball, and all of them are healthy. They look good, and I can't go against them. So Duke versus Virginia in the championship, and my champion is Duke with a score of 78-76.
I actually don't remember which teams were my ones in the Final Four.
All right, Trent, just say who's in your national championship. Say who you think's gonna win.
I had Duke and North Carolina for another rematch, and I had Duke by 72-70.
It was pretty awesome to get to watch the ACC semifinal. Duke and North Carolina are such huge rivals, and obviously with Zion being back, tickets were selling for $3,000 a piece when they were going to be playing at Cameron Indoor, and Zion got hurt 30 seconds into the game. So it was a huge matchup. Zion's first time playing against North Carolina. Duke was even missing their starting center in Marquise Bolden. And Duke was able to pull out the win, and they should be hopefully getting Marquise Bolden back for the tournament. I just like Duke. I think they're strong. I think those guys have grown up. I think they're prepared, and I'm excited to watch this March Madness. It starts on my birthday, so I'm happy. It's a good birthday to have, is when the start of March Madness. So,
all right, let's talk a little bit about free agency in the NFL. I know one big thing that I'm really happy about is Odell Beckham coming to Cleveland. I'm a big Cleveland sports guy. I'm not even an hour, maybe an hour, depending on traffic, away from Cleveland. So growing up, it's always been Cleveland Browns, even though they haven't really been good until this year. Indians, Cavs, everything. Even the Lake Erie Monsters, that's the hockey team. They play at the Q as well. I think they're the Cleveland Monsters now. I'm not sure. I don't really follow hockey, but I've been to a couple of their games. But I was, when I saw that, because it popped up on my Twitter news, popped up. I got a notification. At first, I thought it was one of those those fake tweets that people put out there. And I was like, and then I clicked on it, and it was ESPN. And I was like, I was speechless, and then I was running around trying to.
He was running around the hallway screaming, "The Browns got Odell! The Browns got Odell!" There was a lot of people on campus extremely, extremely happy about this trade, and the Brown. You know, for the first time, I'm from Indiana. I'm obviously a Colts fan. We've been pretty good the last couple of years. We've had a couple up and down seasons, but I'm happy for the Browns. I'm happy for you guys, Kareem Hunt. Also, Trent, only got eight games. How do you feel about that? Obviously, being a Browns fan, you're happy. Yeah. But for what he did, pushing and kicking the girl, were you expecting more? Do you think he should have got more? What do you think there with his suspension only being eight games?
Yeah, honestly, I expected it to be a lot more. I mean, obviously, what he did was not right. And as one of the top performing running backs this past season before he got, suspended and he wasn't allowed to play anymore because all of that went down. And people look up to him. And as a professional athlete, you're held to a higher standard because all eyes are always on you. And for me, I think he should have got at least a couple more games, if not the whole season.
I was expecting it to be the entire season. Half the season, I mean, he can still go to training camp. He can still go to OTAs in the summer because that's not officially the season yet. Once the games, I think he can even play in the preseason games. But once the actual season starts is when he is not allowed to be with the team anymore. He'll be out for eight games, but then, I mean, that still gives the Browns half the season with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb at running back, as well as Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. And the surprise, I think, out of a lot of people, I don't think people were expecting Baker. They knew Baker Mayfield was going to be good, but I don't think they're expecting him to be as good as what he was in his rookie year. Hopefully he doesn't have a sophomore slump. You know, that happens with some QBs. Hope and pray for all these Browns fans that Baker Mayfield does have a good year and the Browns have a good year, and let these Browns fans get to celebrate a little bit because you guys deserve it.
I think one of the things that I love about Baker Mayfield is he doesn't play football for the money. He plays football because he loves playing the game of football. And he just has a passion to play and to learn and get better. And even as a rookie, he was out there and he was leading a team that hasn't done well. I don't remember the last time they had a season like they had this year. Even though it wasn't the greatest of years, it was still a lot better than what we're used to. What, 1-15?
0-16 2 years ago.
It was a big jump this year. And just with all the threats they got throughout free agency the last 2 years and the draft picks they had, it's really improved their team a lot. And just with all of those offensive threats they have, it can open up other things for maybe some of the not as big names, but they're still good, decent players.
Well, Callaway should have a big year for the Browns next year. I think obviously Beckham and Landry are going to get so much attention, and Callaway already had a great year last year, and I think he can build on that even more. he might have to move to the slot wide receiver, obviously, with those two big name guys out there. You want them getting more of the attention, and Callaway can kind of be that guy that maybe can get some linebackers to defend him. And he's fast, he's quick, he has good hands, and I think once again was another surprise for the Browns. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Colts haven't done much in free agency. Frustrated by that.
I was just going to ask you.
We had the most cap space out of any NFL team. And other than re-signing two guys from the team last year, we've only gotten one guy, Devin Funchess from the Carolina Panthers. Signed him to a one-year, $10 million deal. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I think, this is a situation where we do need a number two wide receiver, but we need pass rushers. I think we need another safety. It should be interesting for the Colts. I know no one was expecting the Colts to have the year they did last year, especially winning a game in the playoffs and everything else, but I think they need to spend a little more. And, last year we had the best draft class, Quentin Nelson, just the best. It was a good draft class, so I'm gonna trust our GM and Chris Ballard, and hope and pray. I think the Browns and the Colts have pretty good GMs right now, so yeah. I think we're both pretty happy. But should be interesting. All right, Trent.
One more thing before we move on, take a little break before we move on to Bluffton Athletics and what's going on there. How do you feel about Antonio Brown?
That's exactly what I was gonna try to ask you. All right. We're seeing a huge change in the NFL right now. The move that Antonio Brown just did has never really been done very much in the NFL. It was more of an NBA-style move. You look back to Paul George, Indiana Pacers. I hate Paul George after what he did, saying he didn't want to play in Indiana anymore. That's a basketball state in my, that's how we see it, One saying we always say in Indiana is that, in 49 other states, it's just basketball, but this is Indiana. And so him doing that frustrated me. I mean, we obviously got Victor Oladipo, so we were pretty, we kind of went in that. But you look at him, he told them, I'm not re-signing with you next year. I don't want to be here. Trade me. That's exactly what Antonio Brown just did to the Steelers. The difference was is that Paul George had his agent do all of the work, and he just kept at the Pacers organization, going at the Pacers organization with his agent, where Antonio Brown went to social media and just kept calling people out and did interviews and called Ben Roethlisberger out, called the head coach out, called the GM out, called the president of the Steelers out. And he ended up getting what he wanted. And you don't see that. You normally make NFL players wait it out till their contract's over. They still had Antonio Brown under contract for two more years after this. And he got out, and he got a brand new deal, and now he's the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, my thing about all of that is he's such a good wide receiver, one of the top wide receivers in the league. But before even he said, oh, I want to be traded, I don't want to be here anymore, Juju Smith-Schuster, everyone was saying they found their new receiver. Yes, Juju is a great wide receiver. I had him for fantasy. I couldn't have been happier with him. He is a great wide receiver, great football player. But I don't think yet in his career he is where Antonio Brown is.
Also, the reason Juju had so much
is because everyone was worried
about Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown gets double teamed mm-hmm. all the time. And so Juju Smith-Schuster is now the number one wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's going to get double teamed. He's not going to put up the numbers that he did last year. Yes, Antonio Brown and him both had 1,000 receiving yards. But once Juju Smith-Schuster started to have the year that he did, then they started to focus on him a little more, and that's what opened up Antonio Brown more towards the end of the season. I don't think Juju Smith-Schuster will have as good of a year, but I don't think Antonio Brown realizes what it's like to play for a quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger. Derek Carr has had an up and down NFL career. It's been up, it started up, it's gone down lately. a coach in John Gruden who just came out of retirement. It should be interesting to see how Antonio Brown feels after this year.
Yeah.
To see if he is going to end up being happy with this decision or if he's going to end up regretting it. Kind of like what Kyrie did.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of said, I didn't realize how good I had it now that I don't have LeBron anymore. So, but I think that's all we got for in the sports world. We're sorry for rambling, but, you know, all this stuff is intriguing and we enjoy talking about this stuff. And Trent and I haven't got to do a show in a while, so I think it's all been bottled up in us for a while and we just are so ready and excited to talk. Like, Trent and I have. We're like, what are we going to talk about in our show? And we were like, oh, we got to talk about this. And we're like, we had so much and we didn't even get to talk about everything that we wanted. And, you know, the women's NCAA brackets just came out literally at this very moment. Like, they just came out. And we didn't even get to talk about that. Me being a huge Notre Dame fan, they got the number one seed. I'm happy about that, but I would like to go more into depth with that. UConn not getting a number one seed in women's basketball for the first time since 2006.
Wow.
And we didn't even get to talk about that and just how good of a coach Gino Auriemma is. So, once again, I'm rambling again. We're going to take a break here. We thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit. This is the Beaver Dam.
You're listening to the Beaver Dam. On 96.1 The Wit.
Welcome back to the Beaver Dam. I am Trent Mast, joined along with Patrick Spillman, and we are going to jump right in to baseball. Baseball had their first home game, but it wasn't at Bluffton. It was at Oberlin College against Hiram. Bluffton University baseball team dropped their home opener to Hiram 15-13. Oberlin College on Thursday, March 14th. The Beavers slipped to 5-7 overall, while Hiram stands at 2-7 on the season.
With the Beavers in a 3-0 hole going into the bottom half of the third inning, they were looking to get on board into striking distance. They did just that when Jacob Litowski doubled down the left field line, scoring sophomore Reed Rule and making it 3-1 in favor of the Terriers.
Hiram added one more run in the top half of the fourth before Bluffton made it 4-2 when Lenny Winiarski lifted a sacrifice fly to center in the bottom of the fifth. Colin Gregory launched his team best sixth homer of the season, pulling Bluffton to within two runs at 5-3. Hiram responded with four runs in the sixth and three more in the seventh en route to the 15-3 victory on Thursday afternoon.
Gregory's home run was the bright spot for Bluffton as his sixth dinger is four more than anyone else in the Heartland Conference.
A plethora of Beavers saw the time on the mound with the Bluffton hurlers surrendering 15 runs and 20 hits at Oberlin. Junior Cam Clark finished with a team high four strikeouts while falling to 1-1 on the season.
So it was not a good day for the Beavers on the diamond. Obviously, they were probably excited. Finally, you know, first home game of the year. Weather didn't allow that. Game got moved to Oberlin College, and they just really didn't play well at all. Unfortunately for the Beavers, obviously getting five wins down in Florida was huge for them, but just not a good day being back here in the cold Ohio for their first game back.
Yeah, they had the bats going there for a little bit, and they were keeping it close, and then just that sixth inning where they let up four runs in just that inning, they were already down by two. That put them six away. I mean, I played baseball in high school. Six runs seems like a lot, but all it takes is a couple guys to get hot, and that'll rally through the team usually. But obviously that was not the case there at Oberlin against Hiram.
Yeah, talking with some of the baseball guys, they were frustrated. Said they just didn't have a good day. Made a lot of errors, a lot of just plays that they normally wouldn't make. You know, it's completely different when you're playing out in the warm weather in Florida. You're excited. You're ready to go versus coming back here. It was cold when they played Hiram. The bats probably stung their hands a little bit every single time they hit the ball. So it just wasn't a good day, but I think Randy made this schedule to get guys ready to be able to play once the regular season comes around, once the actual conference play starts. The Beavers making their first conference tournament in school history and wanting to repeat that.
Yeah, yesterday, on Sunday the 17th, on St. Patrick's Day, they were supposed to play Albion, but that game was canceled. I believe it was canceled on Saturday night, but they will play Albion tomorrow, 4:15, it says versus, so it will be a home game. First pitch is set for 4:15, so if you can, come out and support your Beavers.
And with this weather, you never know. Check Bluffton Athletics Twitter page. They always give updates, as well as you can look up Bluffton University Baseball. They normally keep you updated as well on whether their game is playing, whether it's canceled. I know Grandy loves his field, takes care of his field during all the months of the year, and he definitely will not risk ruining the field for a non-conference game.
Yeah, so we just wish them the best of luck in their competition tomorrow. Softball. Friday, they were supposed to have a doubleheader against Kalamazoo. Both of those were postponed, but they are playing tonight. They are playing right now in the second game. The first game, they lost 12-2, and that is against Oberlin. I think it is. Is it home?
It is at home. They're both out there at the field right now.
Just yesterday.
Right now. Earlier. It was literally probably game today. Probably just got over probably 20 minutes ago, probably 30 minutes ago. Right now they're in the bottom of the second inning. In the second game, your Beavers are winning 2-1, it looks like.
But, yeah, in that first game, we'll go back to the second game here in a couple minutes after we talk a little bit stats. But hitting-wise, a Beaver struggled a little bit, only having 4 hits in that first game in 24 at-bats, 2 runs scored in that game. While Oberlin had a total of 17 hits with 36 at-bats, and they scored 12. There is no recap right now, but they had 2 pitchers pitched for the Beavers, while 1 finished out the game for Oberlin. Katie McCord pitched, and as well as Courtney Jasinski. Just struggling a little bit here in the cold. I know it is hard to play and keep warm because everything stings your hands just a little bit more than it usually would, especially with the cold. Well, this is not working.
It lies sets.
They're in the bottom of the third.
The actually. Bottom of the third, but your Beavers are winning 2-1. It looks like
1 out here in the third.
So, yeah, hopefully Beavers can pull out a win here in the second game. Looks like Oberlin scored 1 at the top of the second inning, but your Beavers responded with scoring 2 of their own here in the second. And it looks like right now, like Trent said, Caitlin Mortstadt is up to bat for your Beavers with 1 out. And hopefully the Beavers can pull out a win here in the second game.
Yeah, we wish them the best of luck following this game right now as they are playing. Hope they can pull out that win and get another win on their record and be 3-9 on the year. Right now they are 2-9. But their next game will be Thursday here at 2 against Albion. So come out. Well, actually, that one is also a doubleheader. So 2 and 4:15 come out. Support the women as they take on Albion.
Go okay. Beavers.
Go Beavers.
Go Beavers. Hopefully we can get out to a game or two. Yeah. So last but definitely not least, the Beavers were in, the Beavers track team was in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina to enjoy some sunshine and compete at the Allen Conney Shamrock Invitational hosted by Coastal Carolina University in Myrtle, in like I said, in Myrtle Beach.
The Beavers were led by junior Tori Bowen, who placed third with a vault of 11 feet, 5 and 3 quarter inches, the fourth best outdoor mark in school history, and an HCAC qualifying mark already in the very first meet.
A pair of distance runners also went on to garner solid finishes in the top half of their respective fields that included several Division I and Division II programs. Senior Jenny Madison took 10th in the 10,000-meter field of 20 runners with a time of 40 minutes and 54 seconds, while junior Alexis Cash finished 13th in a 42-runner field with a time of 19 minutes and 4 seconds. Each mark also qualifies them for the HCHC Championships in late April.
Several other Beavers earned qualifying marks for the HCHC Championships, including senior Katora Warlick in the 100-meter with a time of 13.16 seconds, Bailey Barrington in both the 800 with a time of 2 minutes 25.48 seconds, and the mile with a time of 5 minutes 29.88 seconds, and freshman Kayla Ferguson with a high jump mark of 4 feet 9 inches.
The men's side was highlighted by a record-breaking performance from junior Connor Gulick, who broke Bluffton's 3,000-meter steeplechase record with a time of 10 minutes 1 second, a time that placed him 14th in the race and qualified him for the HCAC Championships.
A pair of 10,000-meter runners also started their 2019 outdoor season with a solid mid-pack finish as junior Dakota Frost and senior Jonah Eckert placed 15th and 16th respectively with times of 34 minutes 20 seconds and 34 minutes 23.53 seconds.
Sophomore Brandon James also qualified for the HCAC Championship with a 110-meter hurdles time of 16.85 seconds.
Yeah, as we have always said with this track and field team, they're getting better and better each and every week. They're always fun to recap and see how they have been doing. It's hard to go watch and support them as they don't really have a lot of things that are home. I know last year I believe they had one. They did not have one?
No, they haven't had a home.
They had
meet.
One 2 years ago.
Correct.
Last year they didn't have one. I'm not sure if they have one this year, but if they do, we will try and go out and support them if we don't have a soccer game or something.
Yeah, well, you just look. You've already got at least four or five Beavers that have already qualified for outdoor HCAC championships, and it was only one meet. You're going to see the rest of these Beavers as they get more acclimated to being outside. They're going to start being able to be qualified as well. Obviously, Tori Bowen being the indoor HCAC pole vaulting champion, we expect her to be the outdoor pole vaulting champion, as well as the rest of these Beavers to have a chance. So it's an exciting exciting time for Beaver track and field, who's just getting better and better by each meet. The Beavers will return to action on Saturday, March 23rd, when they travel to Indiana Wesleyan University for the Polar Bear Invitational. The 10Ks will be run at 10 a.m. and 11 a.m., while the rest of the meet will begin at noon.
Also, one last thing before we give our closing statements and all of the fun stuff before our show ends. Congratulations, Connor Gulick, on your record-breaking steeplechase run. In the first meet, even, you already broke the record, so congratulations. Keep building off of that and try and hopefully break your own record here by the end of this school year. And he's only a junior, so he still has all next season to work and break it even more.
Yeah, definitely really impressive. Congratulations, and make it incredibly hard for anybody to beat it.
Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to add, Pat?
think that's it. Thank you for enjoying my rambling about the sports world, because I enjoy talking about it.
And that wraps up this episode of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us on Friday. Check out previous podcasts. Search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play, the WIT 96.1 podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Beaver Dam 96.1. For more stories and information, check out our website, bluffdenwit.com, and subscribe. This has been Trent Mast, joined along with Patrick Stillman, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit.
Roll Beat.